This is the Rich Eisen Show.
They're coming for your souls. I keep saying it over and over and over again.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
They're not only coming for your souls, they are coming to mess you up. Not just beat you, but dispatch you. That's
the Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, Bills running back James Cook, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hey everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live on the Roku channel every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern Time. We say hello to everybody who's watching there. We also say hello to anybody who's listening on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network, coast to coast, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. And in case you're wondering, here on this summer solstice day, longest day of the year, show's still 3 hours. So we're here for you between 12 and 3 Eastern. We're not expanding our hours just because planet Earth is expanding its hours today here on the summer solstice.
You don't want to do like 3 hours and 10 minutes?
Longest day of the year, but the show stays like before.
3:15.
That's a Godfather Part II reference. That's why Mike laughed. He got that.
That means we could do like 2.5 hours in the winter on the shortest
day. We could. You know what I mean? But no, it's 3 hours that day. So we don't cheat and we don't add. We're just here 12 to 3 Eastern every single day, and we re-air as soon as we're over. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo, and their spots. TJ Jefferson, Rich. Candles already lit. Good to see you over there, sir.
What up, Rich?
Oh, I'll tell you what's up.
Yeah, tell me. I'm curious.
I'll tell you what's up. The National Basketball Association draft. What else we could talk about right now? I mean, look. We're in the part of the year where we're, you know, it's not much going on. But what we've got going on is the birth of a star that everybody knows about because it was, what did he say? Was it right around this time last year when Victor Wembanyama's video, I guess, parade began on social media, YouTube? Like, look at this dude. Look at this guy. And remember the first time I saw him play out there in Paris? I'm like, does this guy exist? Like, what's going on? But this was before AI, right? Where, or the explosion of AI. He looks like, honestly, like an artificially intelligent basketball player.
Like an avatar.
He doesn't look real. He's everything that you want in a player in this modern day basketball era in which we reside. He shoots threes. He's taller than everybody. He's making maneuvers with his body that you just really only see from somebody like Giannis, right? And last year it was, wow, here comes the next Giannis. And now Jokic is a defending champ, and he did everything, and maybe this kid can do everything too, because that's the way we're getting set up. That he's everything that any team in the NBA would want and tank for. And the San Antonio Spurs are going to get him. At this point on Friday, we'll talk about the new Spur. We're all waiting to see Victor Wembanyama out there. And this is the reason why he not only threw out the first pitch last night in Yankee Stadium, but this is the reason why he had his press conference today, the day before the NBA draft, front and center. And if the NBA is putting him right out there, because he is also a dream come true for them. This is what he had to say about what his goal in his career, going into this highly anticipated NBA career, this is what he says his goal is. Roll it.
I'm trying to be the best, so being the best, it's not only on the court. You know, there's whole dimensions of the in the job of a basketball player, of an NBA player. And I want to be the best also at the media, the press conference, and all this stuff. So it's, you know, I don't like to do things halfway. So I'm trying to enjoy it, and I enjoy it.
That's exactly what the association wants. Face of the NBA draft in 2023, face of the rookie class coming in, face of the league next year. All due respect to Jokic and the Denver Nuggets and LeBron and everybody else. And man, next week, are we just going to be full of where's Lillard going to go? What's happening there? Or that could happen tomorrow night. Zion, Harden. Name any bold-faced name player in the association that is going to be up for grabs or rumored to be up for grabs in the new league year and free agency season. Chris Paul, who's on a book tour right now. Mm-hmm. It's all about Victor Wembanyama next year. And the San Antonio Spurs are so excited to get him, and he's excited to be had by them. This is what he had to say about learning about going to the Spurs.
You know, for me, San Antonio is synonym of winning. And it's when on lottery night, you know, when the Spurs got the number one pick, I was just thinking, I was feeling lucky that they got the pick as a franchise that has that culture and that experience in winning and in creating good players, you know. So I really can't wait.
Now, you could be sitting here and saying, okay, he's already playing the game, and the fact that he knows what to say and how to say it, and really, the San Antonio Spurs winning, recency, bias. Yeah, they haven't been winning lately.
Five rings, man.
But the era of five rings included a run with Tony Parker on it, and that can't be discounted for a kid from France to have Tony Parker's team draft him. He means every syllable that he just said.
Yeah, and Tony Parker owns the team in the French league that Wembanyama played for this year.
This means everything to him. And with all due respect to the Hornets and the Blazers and all the other teams that won the Rich Eisen Show mock draft lottery, as we ran the lottery over and over and over again. And had five. I think the Bulls got a pick once.
Bulls, Hornets, right? Blazers.
Wizards.
Yeah, Wizards.
Pistons. With all due respect to all of them, this is the team that I think he wanted. Like, if he had his dream and his druthers, he would have chosen the Spurs.
I honestly think, too, TJ, maybe you agree, it's the best case scenario for the league as a whole that he goes to the Spurs. The legacy of Tim Duncan and David Robinson, Greg Popovich, one of the best coaches in NBA history. I think it's best case scenario for the long-term success of this kid that he went to San Antonio.
And you mentioned Tony Parker. You know, Boris Diaw also won a title with the Spurs, so there's another French connection there. So you're right, it kind of seems like it was appropriate.
Yeah, and obviously Manu Ginobili, I mean, this is a team that's been known as being a sort of like the United Nations of the NBA.
International friendly.
Pretty much. Yeah. And, you know, and just one last thing, in case you're really believing that Wembanyama's maybe selling a bill of goods about the Spurs, learning about it on lottery draft night, I'll never forget lottery draft night, seeing his reaction. Just take a look right there. There he is. The Wemby and Wendy Show. By the way, welcomed into the NBA by Wendy.
Channel right now. Yeah. Look at the size of his fingers.
Well, I mean, you don't.
It's longer than the microphone.
Holy crap!
And all you had to do is just see last night's Instagram photograph of him gripping the baseball that he, you know, threw wide.
Inside wide,
wide left, but that's his left hand. It looks like he's holding a walnut.
Instead of holding a golf ball.
The ultimate palm ball in the history of Major League Baseball. Look at him grip that baseball.
I love his caption of just LMAO.
I know. It's unbelievable.
The dude's fingernails are like 4 inches long.
Well, so you know, long. I mean, I assume one of the first things he can do is get a manicure once he gets to the NBA.
How is his hands going to fit under that thing?
It won't.
Well, I mean, what is under that thing?
What's the automatic? I've never been. I've seen it. The dry thing.
You can get a manicure without the dry thing.
Yeah, you can?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. The nail clipper might have to be a lawnmower.
A
weed whacker. Got a weed whack his nails. I mean, good Lord. He's just a fascinating figure. He's just a fascination already. And so I'll ask this question of you. If you're the NBA schedule makers.
Yes.
Christmas.
Opening night.
Opening night.
Yeah.
Do you have him home?
Yep.
You do.
Yeah, you want him in front of the home crowd. Well, let's see. LeBron started his career in Sacramento.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, there's some summer league games in Sacramento where he's going to play.
He may not play.
Or he's going to go.
He may not play.
Well, I mean, the idea is that he could show up in Vegas. He could. He's also plans. He does want to play for. I think the French team in an international competition that's being held in between August and September.
Yeah, if I'm the Spurs, I say sorry.
I would just put him. I would put him away.
Yeah, you're not playing.
But the NBA wants to have him out there. So where do you put him? Do you put him in San Antonio against who? I think you send the Lakers there right away, or do you send him? Do you send the Nuggets there?
Well,
the Nuggets are going to be opening night.
You can't have the Nuggets open on the road.
So then you. Well, and then you have him open on the road. You send him to Madison Square Garden, his one trip to New York. Is that what you do? If you're the schedule maker, the whole world is going to be interested in seeing
Good
him.
One.
And
Good
what
question.
Is the best way for you to get maximum buzz? Because you know it's
going to
be in October. It's going to be amidst the NFL and college football season.
Yeah, but maximum buzz is Tuesday night. It's the late game, Turner. It's Spurs at Lakers. That's maximum buzz.
LeBron, he starts his NBA career on the same court as the all-time leading scorer.
10:30 Eastern late game, boom. That's a no-brainer, I think.
And then you have him go home to face the Nuggets? Or that's just not fair?
Eh.
Or his home opener is what it is.
I think home opener kind of is what it is. Could be Dallas, could be Houston, could be an inner Texas thing. But I think you want maximum eyeballs.
Yes.
LeBron James, maybe his final NBA season, at least the final one in L.A., we're all assuming. Wemby in L.A., let's go.
I mean, game one is fine, but like I said, do you want maximum eyeballs? He's got to play on December 25th.
Oh, sure.
Like that. That's where you're going to get.
Yeah, he's a Christmas day for sure. But opening night.
If you want maximum eyeballs next month, Bastille Day, him versus Nick Batum, one-on-one. Let's go.
Clippers and Spurs.
Yeah. Evan Fournier, an all-French July 14th Bastille Day one-on-one.
Well done. Are we the only show talking Bastille Day?
You guys,
we are the only show focused on Bastille Day. Okay. I can safely say that.
Hilarious.
So, it is awesome.
It's awesome. I'm excited. You haven't had a buzz for a rookie like this in a long time, TJ. When I guess it's been a few years. There was some buzz for Zion.
Some buzz. No, Zion was our first YouTube superstar.
But there wasn't a buzz on Zion's location. I think Pelicans winning the first round, the number one pick that year, was kind of a letdown because everyone was hoping it would be New York for maximum buzz. But LeBron and Zion, it's been a long time since there's been this type of hype for a number one pick.
Here we go. It's going to be a lot of fun. Jay Billis, part of the ESPN coverage of the NBA draft. He will be on this program in 7 minutes' time to discuss it. Hour number two, we will dive back into the worldwide leader in sports pool, our friend RG3. He's an anytime guest talking football with Robert Griffin III. His thoughts on what happened with Stephon Diggs and how to put that to bed. Will the Bills be able to put that to bed? Conversations, obviously, that we won't get answers to until September, but it is the longest day of the year. So he will be joining us. James Cook of the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh.
He'll be on this phone in hour number three to have a conversation with him. I have a top five list. Top five most overlooked make or break players in the NFL this year.
Ooh, interesting.
Most overlooked make or break players in the NFL this year. Aaron Rodgers, obviously, not overlooked.
Mac Jones.
Is he a make or break player this year?
For himself.
Is he really? maybe for Bill Belichick, think Bill's on the hot seat.
Hot seat.
Oh, God.
I'm going to do a top five guys on the hot seat this year.
All right. Do that for tomorrow's show. It's the second longest day of the year tomorrow. Still be 3 hours. And then there's you, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We had a full-blown replay controversy in Major League Baseball last night that cost the Texas Rangers a game. We will talk about that. And again, phone calls, phones are already lit. Love seeing that. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Roku channel and more. The great Jay Billis. We will call him to the stand or to the bench or to the bar when we come back.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? You're going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, wherever you listen.
Back here on the program once again, Victor Wembanyama showing a shot of his left hand holding a baseball, making it look
that
like
ridiculous.
What does that look like? A squash ball? Like looks ridiculous.
The first time I saw it, I had to look at it like twice. I'm like, what is this?
It's like a somebody's split finger fastball's a palm ball. It's ridiculous. So you had a great idea, TJ. You grabbed a baseball and put it in everybody's hands to
just
see what it looked like.
Yeah.
Right? So that's in Wembanyama's left hand. We all gripped a baseball with our left hand, see how it is. Here's mine first. What do you think there?
Yeah, okay. Your pinky and thumbs aren't touching.
Well, by the way, good thing I cut my nails last night. They were really long. Let's see, Brockman. There you go. There's Chris. Oh yeah, wow.
Not the same. Nope.
No.
Not the same.
TJ. Okay.
A little bit. All right. TJ is 6'3", so yeah.
Let's see Del Tufo. Let's see Mike Del Tufo.
I held it loose.
What do you mean you held it loose? Like a pearl?
Yeah, I held it loose.
His thumb and pinkies are touching.
That's so ridiculous.
And his middle finger is not touching his thumb because the other two fingers around it are.
It's just like, what?
Like, I can't.
He envelops the baseball.
Yeah.
Like, I'm holding, like, it looks
it's
like
wild.
An AirPod case in my,
I mean,
like, that's what that looks like.
TJ, go pick up a golf ball. It's like kind of like us holding a golf ball, I think.
You think so? Okay, TJ, pick
close.
One up. Hold on, you're going to go. Yeah, it's pretty much it.
Imagine throwing that at 60 feet, 6 inches.
Yeah. I mean, and by the way, guys from France, how many baseballs do you think Wembanyama's ever thrown?
Zero. That might have been the first.
Honestly.
I don't think it was that bad of a pitch for all things considered.
No, I don't think so at all.
He didn't Kelsey it.
No.
Yeah, you've seen athletes
honestly,
like, who have played baseball before.
Carl Lewis.
Exactly. 50 Cent makes him look like Cy Young. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. One of our favorites, it is NBA draft time, so it's time to bring Jay Billis of the worldwide leader in sports back here on this program. How are you, Jay Billis?
I'm great, Rich, but if I were Wembanyama's agent, I would not have allowed him to throw out the first pitch. What's the upside of that?
Well, he's just, it's the America's so-called pastime. He's now in America. I don't know. Why? Because he didn't find the plate? Is that why? What do you?
Yeah, that's the primary reason. Have you ever done that before?
Oh, yes, I have. I have.
I threw out the first pitch, the first pitch in a Charlotte Knights minor league game, the second game of their opening of their new stadium.
How'd you do?
And I was shockingly nervous. You know, I played baseball in high school.
Okay.
And was shockingly nervous until I realized nobody gave a rat's ass. Nobody's even watching.
Well,
and
here's how it works,
Jay.
Yeah.
But I asked the catcher, like, you know, there's a lot of downside to this. And he goes, don't worry about it. He goes, Jim Thome threw out the first pitch last night, hit the backstop. And so I felt a lot better about it.
Well, as you know, the only way somebody sees it is if it's a fail, right? There was one guy in Fenway Park who hit the mascot of the Red Sox directly in the nuts. 50 Cent, Mariah Carey, Travis Kelce recently, and then he had a makeup a couple weeks ago and did very well. My first pitch in Dodger Stadium a few years ago, I would have hit a right-handed hitter, but I believe the lefty would have swung over the junk. So I think it just depends on who was standing in the batter's box for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to lollipop one in there and have that be shown for the remainder of your career, because the rest of what this guy does is transformational. He's that good of a player.
So let's get into that then, Jay. By the way, great transition. Jay Bill is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Is Wembanyama the greatest prospect you have witnessed since LeBron, do you think, Jay?
Definitely since LeBron, he's the best. Yeah, I've never seen anybody like him. And the only thing I could really liken it to at my age was playing against Ralph Sampson in college. But you have to use the caveat that if Ralph Sampson were born 20 years ago, 19 years ago, he would have been raised in the game perhaps to do things like Wembanyama does it. Wembanyama is a 6'2 guard and a 7'4 body, and he. His skill level is amazing, especially when you consider that size. It just it sort of defies everything, we've been conditioned to expect from a big guy. He handles it like a guard. He's fluid. He can shoot it. But then you add in that size and length and athleticism, and his defensive impact will be profound, especially as he gets older and matures. Like, he can switch out. He's not just a shot blocker in and around the lane. He can switch out on a pick and roll and pick up a guard or a wing and give the offensive player like 6-7 feet of space and take away the drive and still recover on a step back jumper and block the shot. He played in the same division as Rudy Gobert, and Gobert in his time there, I think it was 27 games if I remember right. And Wembanyama had 34 games, so 7 more games. But he blocked over 50 more shots in that time period. And he's an extraordinary talent. And the question I ask myself, Rich, that I just honestly don't know the answer to, and it's a hard thing to wrap your head around, is if you had an 18-year-old LeBron coming out of St. Vincent St. Mary's right now, and you dismissed what he became, obviously, and that's really hard to do, because you would take the bird in the hand if you had the choice. But you put him up against, if they were in the same draft this year with a 19-year-old Victor Wembanyama, you'd be scratching your head over the right thing to do. That's how transformational this guy can be and frankly is. And he's going to, absent injury, that's the only thing that derails this is injury. And he's shown no history of injury, no hint of it. And in fact, does a lot of injury prevention stuff that is sort of next level for his where he is in the game.
So let me just hit that last point. If you had the 18-year-old LeBron coming out of high school in Akron right now, and the 19-year-old Wembanyama coming out of where he's coming out of right now, you truly would be grinding tape and having a table pounding conversation with your staff as to what's the right thing to do for real.
I would. Yeah, I would. And I don't know that you'd have to watch tape that much. You'd just be going, okay, you've got a guy that you got two guys that you know are going to be great. LeBron had the body that you're going, nothing stops this body. Absent running into a truck in the street. Like you knew there was going to be no issues with durability. There is that lingering thought in the back of your mind that Wembanyama is slight of build, but so was Kevin Durant. Like, remember when Kevin Durant came out of Texas in 07? I think it was 07. He couldn't bench press 185 at the one time at the combine, and we were all losing our minds over that, as if they stop games and have bench press contests in order to continue to play. And that's not been an issue. And I don't think his frame is going to be an issue because of the way the game's played. He's not having to bang up against Nate Thurmond and Artis Gilmore down the low post. That's not the way the game's played anymore. It's certainly not the way he's going to play. He plays all over the floor, and his impact is huge at both ends of the floor. Both ends of the floor. He's can't miss absent injury, and I really believe that's the only thing that has a chance to even come close to derailing what is likely, you know, very likely to be a Hall of Fame career.
When you mentioned the bench press at the combine, Jay Billis brings up the story of Deion Sanders many times at the combine, part of NFL Network's coverage, when he was watching defensive backs put up 225 with weight and reps and try to bench press. He's like, why are we making these guys do this? I never had to put Jerry Rice across my chest and lift him, is what he would say. You know, it's a similar aspect to the game and the combine, and again, evaluating talent. So I have to ask you, this being sports talk radio as well, making that choice, 18-year-old LeBron, 19-year-old Victor Wembanyama, what choice would you make, Jay?
I would probably lean toward Wembanyama because I still have this old-school idea that the size and length is preferable. But you know, it goes back. Like, I've been able to dismiss, you know, my old school thinking back in the day of like 15 years ago, that, you know, you always take the bigger guy, that you go with, and Greg Oden was derailed by injury. I think he would have been great absent injury, but, you know, you would default to the bigger guy back then over Kevin Durant. And, you know, looking back, that seems ludicrous. And we'll do the same thing, not with Wembanyama, but with other prospects in this draft. There hasn't been a draft in the 21 years I've been doing it where 5 years later you wouldn't have drafted in a different order. That happens every year, that somebody who's ninth winds up being better than somebody who's third or something like that. It's an inexact science, and, you know, there's been nobody that's been able to figure it out. You just do the best you can. But there are certain things where, you know, it's kind of like if you brought me or some schlep like me on to say, give us analysis of Usain Bolt. Like, what are you going to say? Like, boy, he gets out of the blocks quickly, and boy, his form is really good. You're like, forget it. All you have to do is watch it. He's the fastest guy. Like, take him. After you watch Wembanyama, you know, you don't have to go through all the attributes. Look at it. It's crazy how good this guy is. And it was the same thing with LeBron. You know, you talk about all the attributes, but you're like, dude, this guy's different. And we're talking about LeBron and Wembanyama as being different from your number one pick in other years that are going to be great players. Like, you know, 21 years of this, you've seen a number of Hall of Fame players go through, but there haven't been any I've felt like I have about LeBron, and there have been none that you feel like you feel about Wembanyama.
So before we move on to the rest of the draft, Jay Billis of ESPN here on the Rich Eisen Show, how will Greg Popovich mold this piece of clay in Wembanyama? How do you think this is the match made in heaven that we all assume it is, Jay?
Well, he's like the equivalent of a queen on a chessboard. You can put him in a lot of different situations, and he can do so many things because he's got so many amazing attributes to his game. I think he's gonna become a much more reliable shooter. Like, he only shoots like 30% from 3-point range, but the shot is beautiful. But he shoots well over 80% from the free throw line. That guy has a shooting touch, and it's nearly unblockable. When he shoots it from above the rim at the start. He starts above the rim, and shoots a really good ball. Like, he's offensively very, very gifted. But he's especially gifted on the defensive end. Like, the impact he has on both ends of the floor, you just can't think of there's been nobody like him. He's unique. And, you know, I think even LeBron said it, and it was very well stated. Like, it seems like we talk about unicorns all the time. This guy's a unicorn, as if there are herds. Now it seems like we have herds of unicorns around. And he goes, this guy's not a unicorn. He's an alien. And I thought that was very well said. Like, we don't have enough adjectives to talk about how good this guy is at this age and how good he's going to be. And I think Adrian Wojnarowski said he's the best prospect in the history of team sports. you know, I don't know enough about other sports to say, but, you know, I was just a kid when Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came out of UCLA. I was like 6 years old, so I was not very good in my draft analysis at that time. Maybe I'm not that good right now, but he was the no-brainer of no-brainers. Like he was the greatest offensive weapon the game had ever seen. But the game has changed now, and you don't have low post players like that. They don't want to clog the middle. People can go in the post, but they go in for a short period and get out. So he's not going to have to be a grinding big guy. He's a perimeter oriented big that his strides. I mean, he can get to the basket throw in not only in one dribble, he can pivot at the 3-point line and one long stride, get all the way to the basket with that length, finish with a dunk.
Mm. Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the drama of the draft, the first drama of the draft, will be what the Charlotte Hornets do at 2. What is the conversation about Scoot Henderson versus Brandon Miller that will be a domino that tumbles into Portland, and that might actually tumble into what they do with Damian Lillard, and that might tumble into free agency? So there's a lot of intrigue, drama, and importance about what the Hornets do at 2. What do you think they do, Jay?
I think they take Brandon Miller out of Alabama because he can shoot it. He's 6'9", very athletic, rebounds his position very effectively. He actually, as an offensive rebounder, he gets a number of his own misses. He's quick to the ball, but he can really shoot. He shoots it off the catch, off pick-and-roll situations. He's pretty good at creating his own. And I think he's a good defender. Like he can rim protect a little bit, and he can switch out and guard. He's not a lockdown guy, but he can guard. Scoot Henderson has played 2 years in the G League, and his numbers not only compare favorably, they're better than Jalen Green's were, and he was the number 2 pick in the draft a couple years ago. They're better than his were out of the G League. Better offensive rating, more assists, more rebounds, all that stuff. Henderson is. He's only 6'2", maybe 6'3", at the most, but he's got arms of a guy 6'9", and he can really attack in transition, off the dribble, playmake for himself and others, really good passer. But he hasn't figured out the shooting piece yet. He's not a consistent perimeter shooter, and that's one thing that he's got to add to his game to be even more effective. With Miller, that's already figured out. He can shoot the lights out, and one of the best scorers and shooter scorers in the draft.
So if that leaves Scoot Henderson for Portland, do you think that's a fit with Lillard? How do you think that? Again, I know I'm leaving the X's and O's and tape grinding and evaluation of players lane a bit here, but how do you think that meshes with Lillard and the future of Damian Lillard in Portland if it is, in fact, Scoot Henderson sitting there at 3? Jay?
I don't really know, Rich. I don't know kind of what demands that Lillard is making or can make that you know, you want to look at fit to keep him happy, to keep him. I'm not sure what that dynamic is, but mm-hmm. if it's best player available at number 3 and you have Miller off the board already to Charlotte, I think Henderson is the clear pick there as best available player. But there are other good options there. But I think it's pretty clear that it's Wembanyama 1 without argument, and then I think Charlotte's going Miller. And then Henderson, but I haven't talked to anybody in Charlotte about it, but people I know, you know, there has been discussion. You'd be an idiot not to discuss it, but my guess is that it's going to be Miller at 2. But it wouldn't shock me to see Henderson off the board at 2. But it would surprise me.
Okay, who else are we not talking about that you think we should be going into this draft, Jay Billis?
There are a couple guys like, you know, the Thompson twins, not the very average band from the 80s, but Amen and Asar Thompson out of Overtime Elite. They're freak athletes, different players, but freaky athletically. And so they're upside picks that are likely to go in the first 7. They could go 4 and 5. But there are a couple guys I really like. I like Cam Whitmore out of Villanova. You know, he had some injury issues during the season, so he didn't have a continuous year. But NBA body, ridiculous athlete, attacks the rim like few others. And I think he's going to be a very good NBA player. But, you know, he can guard multiple spots, get steals and deflections and all that. But, you know, you look at his body and watch him athletically, and he's NBA. He has NBA written all over him. But there's a player that was kind of unknown coming into college, Central Florida, playing for Johnny Dawkins, and that's Taylor Hendricks, who's a prototypical kind of 3-and-D stretch four, can really shoot it. Mostly catch and shoot, but he's got a beautiful stroke from three and a very good defender and rebounder. So I think he's one of those guys that fits into the NBA mold as a stretch four that can really stretch a defense and knock down shots. Because there are a number of players that in this draft that are really talented and really intriguing, but they're missing kind of the shooting piece. And in a league that puts a premium on shooting, Hendricks can shoot it out of the gate. You know, you don't have to, it's not like, oh, if he really can improve his shooting, he's got the shooting. So I think he's going to be a high pick, whether he goes 6, 7, 9, whatever. He's a great value in this draft.
Well, great Thompson twins reference, Jay. You know, you had me at that one, but we all know the most impactful 80s duo was either Millie and Vanilli or Wham. We all know that, right, Jay?
Oh, you go back to the Wham UK days.
Sure.
But you're not – the 80s were, you know, and that was our era.
Yep.
You know, high school, college. I graduated college or high school in 82, so I had 78 to 82 in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And the 80s were – what a horrible decade for music.
Oh, stop. Really? That's quite an evaluation, Jay. That's quite an evaluation.
Well, name me the icon. The 70s were – phenomenal.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the 80s and like, what's our touchstone of the 80s? Like Boy George?
I hear you. Aha. Right. But, you're forgetting like Madonna. Come on now. Let's not lose the plot here, Jay.
How much Madonna do you have on your playlist now?
Well, now you're getting into uncomfortable territory that I don't know if I'm willing to share, to be honest with you. But, you know, not much. I agree with you. I understand. But, Mike, you want to chime in here? You seem like you want to jump in here.
Jay, come on. The 80s were amazing. How could you not say that? I love the 70s. I'm an AM Gold guy. I love my AM Gold, which is my AM radio from New York.
Aha. Uh-huh. You're forgetting Aha.
You got all the hair bands,
right?
Bon Jovi.
Aha was like Take U2. Me On with the pencil drawing video on MTV.
Yes.
One Hit Wonder.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, that's not on my playlist either.
Mm, okay, Jay. Very good.
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Have a great draft. I'll be checking you out, as always. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
it. And I'm going into the draft on a downer, thinking about 80s music now. I got to turn on some 70s or 90s to get out of this.
What's your go-to in the 70s then? What's your go-to?
Oh, the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin. No, okay. No argument there.
Okay. Very good. Stairway
to the greatest bands of all time. The greatest rock song of all time is Gimme Shelter.
Oh.
Oh,
I
look at you. You
that.
Are just you. By the way, you're ready for the draft. You're evaluating. Takes. You're just giving out opinions. Look at you going. This is great.
Jimmy Shelter is the Victor Wembanyama of the 70s.
Like the queen on the chessboard. That was another great reference. I appreciate that. Great analogy. Jay, have a great one. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. It's Jay Billis, everybody, as always.
At Rich Eisen Show, better decade for music, 70s, 80s, or 90s.
Perfect. Perfect. I love that. Look at us just falling into it on the longest day of the year. I love it. I thought that is an amazing analogy about Victor Wembanyama, the queen on the chessboard.
Oh, I thought you meant being Gimme Shelter.
No, the queen on the chessboard can, you know.
Do everything.
Do everything.
Yeah.
He can go diagonally. He can go vertically. He can go horizontally.
Vertical.
He can go horizontal. Backwards.
Backwards.
He can go backwards. You can do everything.
You lose your queen, it's over.
It is over.
Game done.
I love it.
I'm glad he brought up Ralph Sampson, because that's been my comp for Vic this whole time. At 7'4", Ralph Sampson was ahead of his time. The way the guy could run an offense, he could dribble, he could shoot. Basketball hadn't seen a player with that skill set at that size before. And if Ralph Sampson didn't get hurt, I mean, he averaged, I think, 22 and 12 his first three seasons with the Rockets before injuries kind of took his career away.
to me, that's the closest thing. You know, everyone's going to say Giannis and KD, but, you know, I've watched a lot of Ralph Sampson on YouTube, Rich, and I don't know. Go back and watch some of his stuff. That guy was amazing.
And then Ewing came along after that, and off we went. When the Admiral came by and Duncan, right?
But, Shaq. Like, but you know, Ewing was legitimately like 6'9", 6'10". You're talking Ralph Sampson at 7'4".
Right.
Yeah. Every bit
well,
of
I'm
it,
just talking about at the center position.
Oh, the center, yeah. I miss, you know, that's why I was glad, you know, Joker did what he did, because I'm an old school basketball fan. I love the era of the big man, of the center. And it was like, this guy finally kind of brought the center back.
Well, and that to me, I was going to ask that of Jay, but I know he had a run and we got stuck in 70s, 80s music a little bit. And that did lead to a poll question that I'm curious to get answers from our audience to. But the impact of Jokic in this league, and I understand it's stupid to say that when the guy was back-to-back MVPs, but now we're talking about his impact because he won it all with a terrific team and cast and coach.
Great coach.
But what will the impact be? Is there going to be one? Or is it just going to be, let's go find our Jokic in the second round during some fast food commercial?
Well, you know, good luck with that.
I know. And we'll ask that question over the next couple of days and into next week as the draft moves on. But that's just an interesting question I'm going to have while I watch the draft tomorrow night play out, for sure. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls before we take that of Robert Griffin III, talk some ball.
Because, you know,
that's the way we roll here on the Rich Eisen Show. First up is the point guard from the Venice Beach Locals, Sidney Dean.
Great handle, somewhat of a trash talker, a little bit of a gym rat, but really hustles out on the floor.
That's right.
He is undersized and tends to over dribble a little bit, and he also tends to hustle in a negative fashion. But he has played against quality competition, including Freeman Williams, Nigel Miguel, who played at UCLA, Marcus Johnson was in that movie, and then Gary Moeller, who played at UC Santa Barbara, whose dad pitched for the Dodgers, Joe Moeller.
Next up is from Hickory High School, shooting guard Jimmy Chitwood.
Jimmy Chitwood, spot-up shooter, tends to demand the ball, especially in huddles. He'll make his teammates better, although not particularly supportive of Ollie when he took that free throw, those free throws at the end of the game, the underhanded free throws against Cedar Knob was the opponent. And who doesn't enjoy saying Cedar Knob on national radio? The problem, he's not always motivated, and Jimmy Chitwood tends to get a little chummy with the alumni. And I think a little questionable relationship with his teacher, Barbara Hershey.
Wow.
I think
All right, last one for you. He plays tons of position, guard, forward, and center from Beacon Hills High School, Teen Wolf. Jay, what do you think about his abilities?
Teen Wolf, whose name in the film was Scott Howard when he wasn't a wolf. Great vertical leap, plays above the rim. I think you could refer to him literally and figuratively as a beast. Only 5'3", but plays much bigger.
Yep.
The problem is he comes from a small town in Nebraska, so he'd have to cut family ties. And then he's occasionally violent, although his hair is perfect.
That may be Jay Billis's finest hour in the history of our program.
Pretty good.
Maybe one. It has to be. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Let's take some phone calls here on our program. Turzo and I will all rise. First up, as always. What's up, Turzo? How are you, brother?
I'm doing well, Rich. Happy you're back in the driver's seat. It was
thank you.
Good having some guest hosts. They always do a great job in your absence.
You're a kind man for saying that. I appreciate their work and your call. What's up?
Hey, so, Rich, I got a couple things. I'm going to kind of go back to what you guys were talking about with Dame yesterday, whether you take him over Zion, and I think I'm in your boat with that one as well, too. I can't trust Zion to stay on the court, and I'm taking Dame, and that's why I want to see him get traded here in the next 24 hours. You know, I'm really hoping that he's out of Portland and somewhere else.
Well,
I just don't see any of these
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Terzo. The question I have here, and I appreciate your calling as always, is what does he want? And I he hasn't publicly declared it, which, by the way, is par for his course, totally on brand, that he doesn't come out and say, this is what I want publicly. I'm just wondering, has he done that privately? And how will that inform the Blazers tomorrow night and moving forward, Terzo?
I'd have to think so, just because of the Adebayo talk. But I just don't see Miami wanting to trade Adebayo, because then that you're kind of just doing the same thing as Portland with having that third overall pick and then a veteran point guard already there.
Well, and I appreciate the call. Thank you. Obviously, you know, we're talking rumors, conjecture, and whatnot. If you're the Blazers, you choose Scoot Henderson and acquire Bam Adebayo, what do you think? That's why this is so important.
Dame seems like he wants to stay, despite everybody else wanting him to leave.
But he wants to stay,
and he wants the team to get better. But I don't think he's going to demand a trade. Doesn't seem like it.
Because he knows if it doesn't work out, although I don't know, maybe he does. Maybe he said something behind the scenes. I know they talked about this, Stephen A. and the rest of the group on the Worldwide Leader this morning. Is it time for him to declare publicly what he wants? And my answer to that question is no, because that's never been his style, ever. Ever. Of course, I think he does want to stay. I think he does like it there. I think he wants his family to grow up there. I think he really enjoys it there, and they love him. You speak to any Blazer fan? And you think my love for Damian Lillard is uncomfortable? You know, speak to any Portland Trailblazer fan about him. And part of the reason why they love him is not just his style of play, but his style, period, mm-hmm. and how he has never once said, I want out of here. This is unworkable. I want to be in a big city. I want to be this. I want to be that. But if you can go to Miami and play with Jimmy Buckets and play with the rest of that team, minus, I guess, Adebayo,
Is that
a better situation than playing alongside Scoot Henderson and see how it works out with the rest of that team that, you know, that they put on the floor in the clip joint last year? And I know Jeremy Grant wasn't playing either, and they were tanking, mm-hmm. so they could have a shot at Wembanyama, which I think he would have asked. This wouldn't be a conversation, right, if they had won the lottery. Yeah.
Well, you know, he said previous to the finals being over that he would – Miami was a place he wouldn't mind going to if they didn't win the championship. But he also said, Bam is my boy. Like, that would be the guy if he were to leave, he'd want to play
with. He'd have to give up somebody. They got to break up their team for somewhat for Damian Lillard, right? I mean, like, they're not just going to give Lillard away. Like, this isn't like a Bradley Beal situation where his contract dictates it.
Yeah.
So, I'm just wondering, has he said something behind the scenes or what? That is so fascinating to me, because if Brandon Miller drops, then you've got a different dynamic, right?
What's the team look like? Right?
You know, like, then you've got – but Scoot Henderson
– ready to play. He's going to come in and instantly be an impact player in this league.
By the way, Scoot Henderson is built like a GAM. That's a grown-ass man out there. He's got the – I mean, geez.
So, that's the question. Is either of these guys sitting there and saying, if they stay put and they just use this pick on a player and say, let's ride with Dame, is that cool with him? And is he calling up other people to say, why don't you come to Portland and play with me?
Yeah, is he recruiting behind the scenes?
What's happening?
Yeah, who knows?
That is one of the greatest intrigues about tomorrow night for me.
We've also kind of seen this before. Kevin Garnett didn't want to leave Minnesota. He loved it there. He wanted to finish his whole career there. He won an MVP there. But he ultimately decided, look, I'm judged by championships. I have to leave to win a championship. It's just we don't know if that's what Dame's mindset is like.
Well, he wants to win a championship.
But he has to know they're not going to win in Portland.
Well, not next year. Not next year. I think it's important for him to say, I don't have the answer to that question.
Could they be better than Denver in the next couple of seasons? Seems unlikely.
Well, just think about it.
Dallas, Denver, too.
Just hold on a second. So Denver began to blossom as the team that won it all in the bubble, right? Wouldn't we agree with that?
Yeah, Jamal Murray kind of had a coming out party.
That's when they started to show you know, what, shoots, green shoots coming out of the ground, right? So here we are 3 years later and they're champs. So is he willing to find the right players, let the green shoots grow, and see if the 2 to 3 years plan that is being put in front of him is something that he accepts?
The problem is he's going to be 33 years old this season.
I hear you.
So you wait 3 years, suddenly you're on 40, the wrong side.
I don't know. I just sit here and think.
Whereas, look, it's
him going to Boston, Philly, Miami,
right,
go, much, east,
right,
go east,
go east.
The West is nutty.
It's an easier path.
Right. Go east. Right? Does he want to go to Milwaukee? I'm just literally throwing stuff out against the wall here. I don't know.
He might be Reggie Miller. Look, Reggie spent 20 years with the Pacers. Like,
Came close.
He was comfortable. He was loved. Some people.
He's in Springfield, Mass.
He's in Springfield. He's on your TV, you know, once a week.
Damian Lillard's thought process is as big a mystery as to who's being chosen second overall tomorrow. And just as important to so many franchises in the league, you know? And I don't know, do we get an answer to that tomorrow night?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, too.
We are here right now.
Feels like a no.
Because it's so epic.
It would be a huge block. I mean, the NBA is kind of known for this around draft time. You know, big trades do happen in this league. Whereas, you know, the NFL, it's only been a kind of a recent thing that big guys get moved via trade. A
lot of information folks in the NBA have gone under today.
Yeah.
Turn the phones, put them on airplane mode.
No, I mean, they're
there's a lot
digging for info.
There's a lot of chatter of like, yeah, we're not going to, you know, I don't have 15, 20 minutes. It could be me. You know, we reached out to a ton. A lot of people are underground right now.
I'm not
now,
seeing them pop up on any other shows.
I know
so
that.
It's not an us thing.
Oh, I'm looking. I'm looking.
You know he's looking, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I was noticing too.
It's not a YP.
Yeah, I get it.
Rich will call him out for it.
I want the tapes. You know? I want the tapes.
More likely to get moved. Zion, Dame, or Jaylen Brown in the next couple days?
If I had to choose, I'd choose your guy.
Yeah.
I'd choose your guy. Oh, baby.
I'm still tripping off of Jay Billis saying the 80s music stunk. Like,
yeah. And that he would choose Wembanyama over an 18-year-old LeBron.
I mean,
that's a hot take.
Robert Griffin when we come back.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.